atmosphere. We welcome you to Frontline Worship Center this morning. We thank you for coming this morning. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you in this place. But most of all, we welcome the Spirit of God in this house. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us today. Thank you, Lord. Can we just praise Him this morning? Just say, Lord, we bless your name. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. You are so magnificent. You are so awesome in this place. You are so worthy. We give you honor today, oh God. We let it come out of our mouths. We say that it's about you, Lord God. We lift you up. We praise you. We love you. Oh, we worthy, oh Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. We worthy, oh Lord. You are worthy. Yes, Lord. Sometimes we have a hard time praising the Lord when we're going through tough times. But the Lord says, my praise shall be forevermore. Because I am a generous God. I am a faithful God. Let praise always be on our lips. From the moment we awake to the moment we sleep, the Lord says, I will cultivate and develop a heart of praise and a heart of thanksgiving in each one. So let's verbally to Him think of three things that we can praise and thank Him for. And let it be on our lips. It'll all be different things. Out loud, Lord, I thank you and I praise you, oh God. And tell Him out loud three things, four things. Let it roll out of your lips. Lord, I praise you. I praise you. I thank you, oh God. You are so amazing. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We praise you in this place. Yes, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you are magnificent. You have made us to be overcomers. You have given us great identity in you. You've given us salvation and healing and deliverance. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our eyes are on you. Thank you that you are the King of glory, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise and bless your name. Yes, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you are amazing. You are an amazing God. And you have done so many amazing things. And we just worship you, Lord, and praise you this day. And thank you, Lord God, for the outpouring of your heart and your goodness and your spirit. For you are a God of life. And you desire to bring new life inside, new life in every part of our hearts. Lord, that we would know that we belong to you, that we were in your family, that we were in your kingdom, and that we would absolutely resonate, our hearts would resonate with the very truth that you desire for us to know, that when we say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that those words just ring in our spirit and they are true and they shall come to pass on every level, on every front, in every place. We thank you, Lord, that our eyes are fixed on you, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, that all the hearts that have been tender towards you this morning, we thank you, Lord, for just showing up. We ask you for great increase this morning. We praise you, Lord God, that this is a new day. And this is a day of new beginnings for so many. And all of us, Lord, at different places in our walk with you. And I just thank you, Lord. You are so gracious. So gracious. So gracious. For you are the greatest gift of all, Jesus. You are so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, the Lord is so gracious and good, and we have new faces in our midst this morning. We just thank God for your lives, and we thank the Lord that He is on the throne, and there's so many things that He wants to show us and continue to reveal in our own lives and our own hearts. So we thank you. Yesterday was a wonderful day here in this house and in the community and in the hearts of so many. we called a gift of Christmas, because we're in the Christmas season, and the Lord just said, continue to reveal to others that I am the greatest gift of all. So we had a full day yesterday of friends, taking new friends shopping for Christmas gifts and spending the day with new friends and new people, which is wonderful. And some are here today. If you're here from Gift of Christmas, can you just raise your hand so we can bless you and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just bless the name of the Lord. Just thank God for your lives. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. You know, the day continued to unfold yesterday for those who weren't able to be part of it, or that you weren't here, whatever. Continued to unfold that as we were able to experience the goodness of God in the buying and receiving of gifts from area retailers and such, that we continued the festivities here. And it was wonderful. Just this place was buzzing with life. I loved it. And the Lord was so gracious to show up as He always does. And He continued through many different avenues of releasing that goodness and releasing that grace. We had a donation room of clothing and other things available for people to go browse and find amazing things. I saw some things in there. It was like, wow, it's like going to the mall. There's some really nice things in there, which was a blessing. Nice, good, helpful clothing items and other things. And we had classes for all the children and activities and presents for our new guests and tables filled in the overflow room and a wonderful meal, a sit-down extravagant meal given to those that we are learning to love and knowing for the first time. So we thank God for your lives. And then it continued on with a program that we had after that in here with amazing dancers. Woohoo! It's here for the dancers. Dancers and drama and drama and worship and solo singing with Rick Christie and an amazing message from the throne, the heart of God, Pastor Bill gave, and I said some things as well. And then we just concluded the beautiful night with just great things that the Lord continued to do as many came into the family of God. So I don't know that those who are here today, who are visiting, or new guests, I should say, new people from yesterday, if you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, could you just stand up so we can celebrate that? If yesterday you just said, yes, I want to give Jesus everything in my life, can you just stand up? Stand up so we can see you. Stand up again. Stand up. We want to celebrate you. Stand up. Stand up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise the Lord for new life and new beginnings and new hope. Welcome into the family of God. And for those who have already, who had been walking with Jesus and felt that there was, just remain on your feet, please. Just remain up. For those who felt that the Lord really touched them and they just really said, God, I'm going for it. I just want you in my life. You may have already known them. You may have made a commitment before. If that was you from the Gift of Christmas, please be on your feet so we can just celebrate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the deliverance. Thank you, God, that you are so amazing, God. So amazing. Just praise the Lord for your lives. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, we just are so excited to have you here and all who are here today. Lots going on right now in the family of God. And we just wanted to show you a few pictures of some other things that are happening around the world. And this is in our Frontline Ministries International Children's Home in India, in Rajahmundry, India. We have, how many pictures did we decide then? About 7 pictures. So if we can draw your attention up to the front, I want you to see Pastor Dewa and Sunitha. And these are the overseers of the ministry. I don't know if we need to have the lights off at all. There we go. And these are our children that we are supporting. Just leave it there for a moment. Can we just back up? Yeah, back up to the other one around it. There we go. These are the children that we are supporting physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. And these children are growing up, and they love us. And they love you. You don't know them. Many of you have not been overseas to see them yet. But the Lord is saying that I'm connecting hearts together. So we're establishing something new. We did this several years ago, and we just want to celebrate what God has done. So look at these little ones, these young ones. These are ones that we're trusting and believing someday you will be able to greet and you will be able to see. And we just invite you to sow into their lives. And we're going to look at the next picture now. They're having a party by the sea. And these are some of our new ones. I believe the numbers are, Pastor Bill, is it at 22? 21 right now that we have. 21 children. That's growing. And these are some of the new ones that have just come in. And so in the last year. And so we don't know them yet. So we're going to get their pictures up on the bulletin board. And last year, Joe was overseeing a sending of gifts. And she did a marvelous job to send out gifts to all the children and others in a home nearby, connected with the kids across the way and all of the leaders. And it was just amazing that we were able to do that and send gifts to them. It didn't get there. They didn't get there till after Christmas, which is, you know, how the mail goes. And we tried to start early enough. So this year, we thought we would do something different. So we're asking that if you would like to sow into this monetarily, we're going to give you that opportunity today. And so that we can purchase things for them or send the money. We're still debating time-wise on what we're going to do. So if you would like to sow into them, you can put India Children's Home, if you would, on the envelope. And this would be above and beyond your tithe. So if you're a part of Frontline, you're considering this your home, we invite you to continue to sow your tithe into the ministry. But if you would also care to donate in any way, anyone, to these children, and that touches your heart, we'd really invite you to do that today. And so let's show the next one up here. Next picture of these little ones. They're sitting by the beautiful water on the sand, and I don't know if all 21 are there. If you can count fast, you can see. These are our children from India. Next one, please. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. These little lives, these people love you. And we get emails from them, and we're going to try to be more responsive to get information to you. We've been a bit overloaded with lots going on overseas. So if this really touches your heart, see me if you want to be involved in this ministry with me. If you would like to go ahead to the next one. That's Sunitha on the left and Pastor Dewa on the right. Yes, Lord. Okay, next one, please. There they are. They're celebrating. Yeah. Look at those faces shining. These little ones know and love Jesus. And there are a few that don't know us now yet. And some of them, how many did Suni say didn't know us? There are 9 who don't know us yet. We haven't met them, but the rest we know. So these little children are so excited to greet you. And one more picture, or is that the last one? Look at these little faces. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is that the last one? One more? Is that the... Okay. That's it. Well, praise God. So we're going to invite you to sow into that, and we're going to then see how we can bless them over this Christmas time, Christmas holiday and season, okay? And I'm trusting that even in our Sunday school Kingdom Kids classes that there might be a note or something that I have. Maybe you've already decided to do this, I don't know. Just bringing it up, that if not, this would be a good thing, that we can send them something that would be a real blessing. And maybe we can even do it via email, so, or something that they could read to the others. So we just pray for them right now. Father, we just lift up the children in FMI Children's Home in Rajahmundry, India. And we just thank you, Lord, that you've given us a new beginning there, and that these lives are literally changing. Father, these are kingdom warriors being raised up, and we thank you and praise you for the emphasis that you're putting on their lives, and you've divinely connected us together. So we just give you all the praise and thank you that you touch each one with your spirit, with your heart, with good health, with divine health. Lord, that they would know you and want to stay close to you all the days of their life. Lord, we just thank you for their lives, that they would be lifted up and encouraged and strengthened as we just speak out on your behalf. And Lord, we just lift up Pastor Prabhaka and his wife, Sumati, and Pastor Dewa and his wife, Sunitha, who are interacting with all of these children. Pastor Prabhaka and Sumati have their own children's home as well, but they all work as a family. So Father, we just ask your blessing, and we ask your release of favor for finances, for just all that they need to meet all of their provisional needs. And also, Lord God, that you would just overwhelm them with your goodness and your divine healing. Thank you for increasing and healing Sunitha. In Jesus' name, we speak, Lord God, to the problems that she's had in her back and also in her knees in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord God, for a divine breakthrough right now. Just command healing to come and release from heaven to earth into Suni now. In Jesus' mighty name, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She's been having some severe back trouble. We went out and bought her a bed yesterday, a special bed for her, and had that sent the money that they would buy the bed. Didn't send her one. And so, So we want to continue to pray for her. And also the good news with Pastor Stephen in Accra, in northern Ghana, in Sola. He was very, very sick, as most of you know, but the report is, as of this week, that he's healed. In Jesus' name, the doctors said he would die. The doctors said he would die from being poisoned. And Jesus said, oh no, he won't. In Jesus' name. So he prayed, and he was not able to receive any help from the doctors because of the poisoning. They just sent him home to die. And we said, no, not on our watch. And you were part of that. So God bless you. Thank you so much. And keep praying. In Jesus' name, for Pastor Stephen, that would continue on in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, I don't know the situation yet. Okay, well, we know that Dylan and Amy are in the hospital right now. Amy has had contractions, and this was a big surprise to everybody. So this morning, right before we got in here, that's what we heard. So the last text I got from Dylan is we may be having a baby today. Amy was part of Gift of Christmas yesterday. She was the pregnant one, obviously. Big pregnant one. And she worked a 13-hour day before that. So it's like, wow. And she was feeling really good last night when we left here. So, Father, we just lift up Amy right now and Dylan. We thank you, Lord, for the birth in your perfect timing and your perfect way for little Michael Williams in the name of Jesus. Father, we welcome him into this part of the world, into this realm, with no problems at all. We thank you, Lord, in your perfect will, that there will be no interruptions to your plan. You know the day that this child would come into the world, and we declare that day to be true in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord God, that there will be no interruptions at all. There will be no hindrance. There will be no physical complications and no spiritual complications at all. We thank you, Lord God, that we just reverse any attempt that may come to change that. And we say yes to your kingdom being released right into this baby, right into this mother in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the healthy entrance into this world. Completely by your divine hand, supernatural entrance into this world with the help of the doctors and nurses for Michael Williams. In Jesus' name, we declare that this is the day the Lord has made and that we rejoice and we're glad in it. Thank you, Lord, for peace and for supernatural birth and delivery for Amy that she has asked for. Lord, you know what that looks like. And we call it down from heaven now in Jesus' mighty name and for peace to permeate all people, all parties involved, especially Amy and Dylan. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes. Kingdom children, you are released to kingdom land. Amen. Woohoo! And again, just to remind you, today we will take an offering for Rajahmundry, India. Can put it right back there in that box on the wall. There are envelopes in your seats. Thank you.
you hear me?
Is it on yet? It is. Okay. Just checking. Pretty close, huh? What a great day yesterday. It's on now. Don't you think? Wasn't that a great day? How many think today can be even better? Oh, yeah. From glory to glory, higher and higher, this can be even better today. The reason is because the Lord is here. And how many remember what I spoke on last time? 2 weeks ago? Wasn't that long ago. Those that are from Gift of Christmas, see, you're exempt. You don't even have to remember anything. 2 weeks ago? What? More of the Father's love. Extra noodles. Extra noodles. We've been talking about the Father's love, and 2 weeks ago, we had more of the Father's love. Because there's always extra noodles in the Spirit. Mrs. Grass's extra noodles soup. Don't ever buy the regular. There's not enough noodles in there. Always buy the extra noodles. Just an advertisement. So today, it's kind of similar, only I think it'll be even simpler to remember. Similar but simple to remember. You know, one of the things that we have trouble with is forgetting. Forget what God does. Forget who God is. The enemy's strategy is to have us forget what happened to the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. They kind of forgot how good God was. What happened to them in the desert? They forgot. So what did they start to do? This manna's getting old. I'm getting tired of eating manna. I'm getting tired of eating birds that fall out of the air. Okay, so they complained a lot. Their shoes didn't even wear out when they were in the desert. Did you know that? Their clothes didn't wear out. And yet they complained. Truckloads, trainloads of food delivered to them every day. In the morning, they just went out and picked it up off the ground, and it was ready to eat. Fast food. Right from heaven. Birds fell out of the air onto the ground. You didn't even have to shoot them. How about that? You didn't have to shoot them. They just fell. How would you like to have that big buck just come along and fall in front of you? Some of you guys will go, oh, I don't want that. I want to shoot it. I want to shoot it. Somebody said, I heard you got a bow. I said, yeah, I bought a bow, but I'm just target practicing. I'm not after any animals right now. And they said, well, I think you ought to get a crossbow, because that way you know you'll get them. I mean, there's some real hunters in here. I'd be careful. I don't know if you've been reading the paper lately, but people are getting shot this time of year. Front page, over on the side. Who was shot today? Hunting. I thought the hunters were supposed to shoot the game, not each other. I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not going out there with my bow. Tell you that. I don't want arrows flying my way. If it's a crossbow, then, you know, maybe I'll have an advantage. So, this case right here is a lie. I just thought I would tell you this morning. You know, it's kind of like a lot of the things the enemy does. He tries to put a case around them. He tries to tell you that God doesn't have good things for you. Oh, by the way, either he is limited or you are. If he can't convince you that God the Father is limited, then he'll convince you that you're limited. And his grace and his mercy and his kindness and his provision and so on is limited towards you. This case is a lie. It says on the outside of it, Epiphone. Now, Epiphone is a guitar made by Gibson that is like a second class. You know, you get an Epiphone because it's cheaper, not because it's better. And so, inside the case, is a real Les Paul. A real Gibson. Not just an Epiphone, but a real Les Paul. Come on. That's it. You got it. Okay. You see, so the enemy, what he tries to do is put things in an Epiphone case. So you don't recognize the goodness of God. That it's a real Les Paul. It's real. It's full. It's fat. It plays like a dream. But he wants you to look at the case. So some of us have been fooled by the enemy's strategy. He says, oh, you know, life isn't that good. Shoot, man, it's hard. It's all hard. But what happens with coal? When it's put under pressure, it becomes a? Not every time. Only if it responds correctly to the pressure. It'll just end up hard coal. Isn't that true? So we have to respond to the pressure correctly. There are many people in here with different pressures. Some of them are financial. Some of them are where to go to school. Next. Wedding pressures. Ooh. There's a whole group of people that are either part of the wedding pressures or they're watching the wedding pressures. By the way, if you're watching the wedding pressures, you're better off. There's people in here today with emotional needs because of hurts, pains, pressures in their life. And the enemy says, you'll never have a Les Paul. No, you'll just end up with a second-class Epiphone. It's Pastor Bill that ends up with a Les Paul. He gets the Les Paul. You just get the Epiphone. It's Pastor Mary Pat. She ends up with the Les Paul. You know, she's got faith. She's got, you know, God on her side. But you just end up with the Epiphone. You just can't seem to make it to that next level of spirituality. It's all a lie. It's a big, fat lie. And the enemy loves to give that lie to us. He loves to say, your Father is limited. Your Father in heaven, he can't provide for you. Obviously, look at your situation. And whether it's a financial need or an emotional need, he's saying, he can't reach you. He's too limited. But you say, no. I know the scriptures. God is not limited. He's unlimited. And so you say, well, I am the one that's limited. And the enemy says, yeah, you're the one that's limited. You can't get there. You can't reach God because of you. He doesn't want to bless you. You're less than the best. You're not good enough for him to bless. But today I want to tell you something. If you have become a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the Most High God's holy city. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are a child of the King. You are one of His. He names you. I know that sheep, and that sheep is mine. Then He wants you to have a Les Paul. He wants you to be unlimited in favor, unlimited in the things that He can do in your life. It's us that keep the limits on, keep the lid on, keep the ceiling on. See, in the Spirit, this place doesn't have a ceiling anymore. We took that out a long time ago and said we don't believe God is limited in reaching us, reaching our needs. So, Friday, some texting was going on that you didn't know anything about. Gift of Christmas. Text kind of went like this. We only have enough money to cover the transportation. Text, you know. Only enough money to cover the transportation for Gift of Christmas. Text going back and forth. So, we could have said, oh, woe is me. Okay, we're going to reduce the budget for each person. We're going to give the children less and the adults less. And we're going to... We already had the food that was donated, so we're good there. We're just going to cut back. We're going to go on a budget. Cut back for the folks that are coming. They won't know what the budget was. See, that's what the enemy tempts you with. But we said, no, wait a minute. Whose idea was Gift of Christmas? Was it our idea? In 2005, when this started, despite what the paper said, 2005 when this started, we said, you know, we'd like to do something at Christmas time for people that are hurting. Show God's love. That was our heart. It wasn't to get people for the church. Believe it or not, it wasn't about that. It was about reaching out to people in need and just showing God's love. Now, they could be in need for all kinds of reasons. It didn't matter. Just to show God's love to them. That was our heart. We said, God, give us an idea. Because, see, our idea was, well, we could give them a dinner. And we looked around and, gee, everybody else had that idea. They're all giving dinners. You know, you could have several dinners that you could go to this time of year. Well, that just seems like that's kind of limited. What do you think, Father? What do you think? And we just kept hearing gifts. Gifts. Gift of Christmas. Let them purchase gifts. But God, that'll cost a whole bunch of money. Where are we going to get that? This small little group of people, especially in 2005. Looked out the first service and about 80% of the congregation had already been overseas. Now that's the way to start a church. We'd already gone overseas. Majority of the people in the church. We start the church backwards and it works really well. They already have a heart for people. God knows what He's doing. So we started out as a Bible study. We became a ministry. We were taking trips all during that time. And then we started a church. It's awesome because you don't have to talk your people into going to the streets and ministering to people. You don't have to talk them into going overseas. They've already been there. They already care about people. They already love. All we do is just say, God, give us more. Help us to love more. Help us to have your ideas on how to love people, care about people. So, you know, why don't you give out gifts? Who wouldn't want to shop till you drop? Charge like a bull. Let's go. Let's go out and shop together. Let's get on some transportation and go go to some local retailers and take people out shopping on a shopping spree, all on the Father. The Father will pay for it. Okay, we'll do it. Now, that was kind of stupid, because you're supposed to look at a budget. You're supposed to say, we don't have money for that. We're trying to get people overseas. We're trying to do that. We're trying to, you know, rent a building for the first time ever, pay the gas bill in this place. We had just moved in September, and we had gift of Christmas in December. We didn't know what we were doing about any of it. Having a church, gift of Christmas, none of it. But you know, God provided. And he provided the next year. And he provided the next year. And the Father provided the next year. You know why? Because he likes us? Because we're being faithful and true to God? No, because he loves the people that we go out and touch. He loves them so much, he wants to touch them. He doesn't want our budget cut back for them. He loves people so much, he won't let there be a limit. You say, well, then just give me $1,000, Pastor Bill. Wow, look at that rock on that ring in the gumball machine. Only a quarter. Is it a quarter? Maybe it's 50 cents now. I don't know. And you get it out and you put it on and you go, wow, it wasn't quite what I thought. And then it breaks in a day and a half. That's really not what I thought. But when you invest in the pearl of great price, that's worth everything you have. You just sell it all and buy that piece of land that the treasure's in. Or you see that pearl of great price and you say, I'm going to give everything for that because it's worth more than everything I have. Many times over. And so you see, you are the pearl of great price that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father can't wait to be unlimited with. He can't wait to surprise you with a Les Paul, even if it looks like it's in the wrong case. The enemy shows you the case. The Father will show you the pearl of great price hidden within. What are you willing to give up to get there? Because just like last night, we said, did we take an offering? And people were going, no, you didn't take an offering. Oh, yes, we did. What do you mean? I didn't give any money. You came forward and gave yourself. People were giving all day yesterday in this house, loving people, caring about people, spending time with some of the children. You know, they come in and we here enjoy them. I don't know if you noticed. We don't sit there and go, wow, they make a lot of noise. Holy mackerel, those kids make so much noise. You know what we do? We give them noisemakers. It's an opposite strategy. Instead of saying, well, they sure make a lot of noise, we say, hey, make some more. Just make sure it's for the Lord. Well, you know, you can't make sure with a child. He can't make sure with us that all our praise and glory for him is right from our hearts. Why should we require that of the children? Now, that doesn't mean that occasionally we'll guide them, you know, and quiet them. And, you know, that's not the, you know, we don't let them do anything they want. But a couple of them hanging from the chandeliers, you know, wouldn't be so bad if it was in the right spirit. Because we like to treasure what God treasures. Did Jesus say, and keep the children away from me? I've got business to do. I've got the Father's business to do. Just keep those kids away from me. I mean, after all, I'm healing, delivering, saving. Keep those children out of my midst. I can't stand kids. I don't think so. I see him like me with my grandchildren, you know. They run up and they're just, you know, they're ready to slobber on me, hit me, you know, play with me, everything else. And I'm just like, I can slobber better than you. And I just kiss them on the neck and, you know, because they're treasure to me. You're treasure to the Father in the same way. He can't wait to show you how unlimited he'll be for you. Speaking of kids, there are the kids that are in the playroom. And they see mom go to the cupboard. You know, they come out of the playroom once in a while. They watch in the kitchen. And mom goes to the cupboard. And she gets things out of the cupboard and cooks and so on. You know, brings out a piece of candy, gives them a piece of candy maybe, you know, just a little special treat or maybe one of those, you know, chocolate chips or something. Here's a couple of chocolate chips. And they, oh, gee, Mommy, thank you. They go back and play in the playroom. And then they're thinking, there's treasure in the cupboards. Kids are smart, I'm telling you. There's treasure in the cupboards. So mommy gets busy, you know, some other room. And they go for the kitchen. They have a whole playroom with toys, expensive ones from grandparents like me. But they run to the kitchen and they start going through the pots and pans and bam, bam, bam. Oh, this is fun too. And we haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet. Whoa, this is going to be great when we find the candy, but this is fun. And they're banging along, and mom, you know, here's a, what is that noise? She's at the other end of the house, thinking they're in the playroom, having fun with their toys. And finally, they discover the cupboard with the goodies, whatever it happens to be. Or they see the cookie jar on the counter, and it happens to be filled with cookies today. Are they going to be able to resist? Come on, you know they aren't. No matter what you've taught them, you know, sugar's bad for your teeth. You know, the Dental Association has put out the warning that, you know, sugar is not good for you, my child, my lovely child. But I've tasted sugar, Mommy. And I know it's good for me. I can taste it. It's in there. It's good. So, of course, they're going to maybe push the limits a little bit and get in the cookie jar. Find some of the treasure. Dig for the pearl of great price. You see, and the thing is, the Father loves that. He loves us to get into his cookie jar. He loves for us to desire the kingdom of God so much that we'll give up everything to get there and get the goodies. But so many people limit their desire for the kingdom of God. Oh, I don't want to be too radical. I don't want to be too crazy looking. Have you seen some of the people dancing up here? Come on now. And this was a calm Sunday. People are tired from serving yesterday. You wait till they have some energy. Oh my golly. And I'm, you know, up on the guitar, and I don't know, but there's just something about an electric guitar. Especially, did I mention a Les Paul? There's just something about playing electric guitar. You just, you know, you want everybody just to get off the stage so you can solo. You know, you just love to do that. I don't know, just something in you. Now, because Holy Spirit has given you self-control, you try to blend in. But every once in a while, it gets away from me. It just gets away from me, and I get up there, well, I'm not supposed to be doing that. That's right. But, you know, why not just a little bit of freedom? Not have those limits that we've let religion put on us, or we've let life put on us. Why not kick up our heels once in a while? I know when my ankle was healed, 3 bones broken, and I didn't have to have surgery, and the first chance I got that it felt good, I started jumping up and down and praising and dancing, because that was freedom. Boy, dragging that thing along, you know, that was limiting. But when he healed it, it was freedom. Do you know there's more of that for you? In every area of your life, there's more of that for you. And you either step into it or you step away from it. Now, there are new people here today. And believe me, we're so glad you're here. We're really glad you're here. Not just, oh, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Because you have the opportunity to step into the unlimited. Not just because we like you and, you know, we like seeing you come here, and it's we can hear your stories and you can hear our stories and we can get to know one another and you can become part of the family here. But because God has something great for you. There's nothing better than to give that away. Last night when I was able to preach the gospel, oh my, there is no better feeling. That wasn't a chore for me. I didn't have notes, you noticed. There wasn't something that I had to look at beforehand. I just said, God, I don't even know what I'm going to say. What are you going to share through me tonight? This should be exciting. The atmosphere was electric. There were people, you know, ready. God had prepared hearts all day long through his love being poured out to people to step into that electric atmosphere and preach the gospel. What a privilege. It was just an honor to share God's treasure, to share his unlimited love for people. It's always an honor. And I know some of you have experienced that. Whether it's one-on-one or it's to a group, it's such an honor to give out his love, to care about people, to really care. And my love's too limited for that. When I depend on his love, wow, major things happen. When I depend on my love, I stay home in the easy chair. Because sometimes my love only goes about that far off my nose. It's not enough. I have to depend on the love of Jesus inside of me. And then, wow, I want to go across the ocean. I want to go across the street. I want to go downtown. I want to go to Africa. Doesn't matter where. It's got to be expressed. It's got to be shown. I want to come here. This morning, I couldn't wait to come here. I was not tired from last night. I was energized. Fortunately, I went to sleep. Sometimes when I'm energized, I can't get to sleep. I'm just so excited about what God is doing. I want that for you. I want you to be excited about what God is doing in you and through you. Because if you just end up being a well, oh, I'm just going to receive the rain that comes from heaven and I'll just be a well, then that water gets stale after a while. It really does. It's time to become the river and let it flow out of you as well, to keep on flowing. And I'm telling you, all you have to do is just love the person next to you. You don't have to go to the stadium, you know, and preach a message. All you have to do is love the person next to you. And before long, you're preaching a message in a stadium or someplace. You never even planned on it. By loving the person next to you. Okay, that was all an introduction. I don't know where that came from. But the whole thing is, don't just be the kid in the playroom. Well, I'll just get all God gives to me, you know, whatever He gives to me. That's what I'm just going to, I need it. God, help me. You know, what's the matter? I need this stuff. Help me. I need a house. I need this. I need this. Make your list. God, where are you? I'm supposed to be your kid. Where's the stuff? See, that was the rich young ruler. Gimme, 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 so I can be rich, 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 young and ruling. Rich, young and ruling. Gimme, 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 gimme. Jesus said, okay, give it all away. Uh-uh. Give it all away. Uh-uh. Give it all away. I gave it to you. Uh-uh. I'm rich. I'm young. I'm a ruler. Why would I want to do that? Wrong approach. When I was in General Motors Fisher Body in 1979, I went to a conference out in Colorado and on a vacation, and they said, you know, come up with a specific prayer request of what you want God to do for you. I said, okay. Well, I'd like to teach. I mean, I was in the factory for 3.5 years. I want to teach. And I was trained as a teacher, but I'm in the factory. And so I put down a specific prayer request. If within a month, I think it was, I am switched to second shift at this factory, then I will quit my job and trust God for a teaching job. That was the request. So I, you know, every Friday, the list comes out of who is switched on the different shifts. There were 3 shifts. I had been on 1st and 3rd shift. That's why the prayer request. I might have been on 2nd shift 1 week or 2 weeks in the 3.5 years I'd been there. So I thought that was highly unlikely for me to be switched to 2nd shift. That's why I put 2nd shift in the prayer request. Now, I'm not saying you should do this, but I did. And God still is good. It was very specific. Within a month, if I'm put on 2nd shift, I'll quit my job. Now, I had a child. It was just born. I will quit my job. No, it was about to be born. Excuse me. Christy. In 1979. About to be born. I will quit my job. Now, this is August. She was born in September. I walk out of a job. General Motors, Fisher, Body. Good job. Wonderful benefits. If you'll just simply put me on 2nd shift. So I kind of forgot about it. Came home from the conference, went to work. I checked the list, you know, at the end of the week. 1st week, nothing happened. 2nd week, the list came out. Whole bunch of people were switched to 1st shift. Whole bunch of people were switched to 3rd shift. And there were 6 names of people switched to 2nd shift. Guess whose name was one of the 6? Me. I was like, wait a minute, it hasn't been a month. What's going on here? This is amazing. So my spiritual father at that time, he got wind of this, and he said, hey, we need to take a walk. It sounds like you might walk out of your job. Let's take a walk. I want to hear about this thing. So we took a walk around the block, and I explained to him, it was a prayer request I wrote out. It was at a conference in Colorado, and I went up on a rock, and I was, you know, just writing this prayer request out because the guy said, write specific prayer requests, and so I did. It was very specific. You know, if you gave me, it got me on 2nd shift within a month, and I would quit, and, you know, I had to trust God for a teaching job. And he listened, and he listened, and he listened, and he listened, and I might have repeated it a couple times. Listened, and he listened, and he said, you know what? I think you know, we're kind of stuck here because God did his part. God did his part. And he knew I had a baby on the way. He knew I would be walking away from a wonderful job. And I didn't have a teaching job. And the city I was in had 4 colleges turning out teachers all the time, you know. Teachers, teachers, teachers in this city. So there weren't teaching jobs just, you know, hanging on the trees. In fact, when I was in college, they said, don't go into teaching. There's no jobs. No jobs. Don't go into teaching. And I didn't feel any check in my spirit, so I went into teaching, knowing there weren't any jobs. Because I don't live on that kind of basis. What the reports are. What's in the newspaper. What's on TV. I live according to what my Father, unlimited Father, can give to me. Now, that's when I'm at my best, of course. So, I went in next Monday and said, how do you quit in this place? It was a factory of 2,700 employees. I'd never been to the office area. It was so huge. And they said, well, you go up to this office and you turn in your tools and that's where you quit. So I went up to this office and I started turning in my tools. They said, how do you quit? And they, well, I sign this, do that. Oh, what are you going to? You're leaving Fisher Body, General Motors Fisher Body. You must be, you know, you got something really going. Said, prayer request. Huh? Just a prayer request. Okay, yeah, take those tools. What's wrong with this person? And I walked out of the parking lot. I said, let's see now, baby on the way, already have one child, home to take care of, wife. God, it's you and me. How am I going to get a teaching job? Where do I start? In August. Most of the teaching jobs are already filled, of course. So, in my great thought, I started applying at appliance stores and other jobs. And a couple of very wise people came to me and said, your prayer request was for what kind of job? It's a teaching. Why are you applying at an appliance store to sell refrigerators if you want a teaching job? I don't think there's a link between the two. Okay. You're right. You know. So I submitted that one to the Lord, and he said, yeah, that was kind of a dumb idea. So, okay, all right, I can handle that, all right. So I won't apply to those. I'll go back to the university I graduated from, and they had this job board kind of thing for teaching jobs. So I went to that board, and nothing fit my qualifications, nothing. But I saw one on there that just caught my eye, and I thought I'd call anyway. It didn't even fit me. Ever been there? Something that just doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit. A lot of people quit. And even back then, before Pastor Mary Pat, I didn't quit. Because she never does. She never. A no to her is a yes from God. A no from the world is a yes from God to her. So this was a no, but I called anyway. And I get the secretary. Yes, I'm inquiring about the position and blah, 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 blah. She said, well, you know, did you read the qualifications? You know, English major, military background, have coaching experience. I said, yes, and I don't have any of those. And she said, well, why don't you come out and apply? Okay, I will. So I went out to the school, and she gave me this application. It took me an hour and a half to fill it out because it was mainly writing. You know, a lot of applications, you just check off a few things and write a couple things, that's it. This was an hour and a half. Essays on the application. So I go up to the desk, I turn it into her, and she says, well, the principal isn't here right now, but I'll make sure he sees this. I knew what it was like applying for teaching jobs. They have a stack like that. Why would she tell me that she would make sure he would see this? Having not even read my application and having talked to me on the phone, and I let her know I didn't have any of the qualifications. So I thought, well, we'll see. So I get home. That night, he calls. Night. After hours, long after hours, he calls. Can we meet tonight? At the school. Okay. Let's do that. I cancel my other appointments. I go out to the school. It's just him and me in this dark school. You know, his office light's on, and that's it. I go in, and he says, could you fill this out for me? An hour and a half. Another hour and a half, a second part of the application. He's waiting all that time in his office. I fill it out. I take it into his office. And he takes out a red pencil. Come on. You know what that means. Former teacher, now principal, red pencil. And he starts circling things right in front of me. We're the only two in the office. There's no secretary. There's no... And he's circling things with a red pencil. Well, I thought I'd come this far. I'm going to be a little bit bold. And I said, could I ask you what you're circling? He said, these are things I like. Just keep on circling. You just go right ahead. I'll wait while you circle. And sure enough, he goes through the application, he's circling things. He gets to the end and he goes, so, you play guitar. Now remember, English major, military background, teaching experience. So, you play guitar? Yes, I do. Do you sing? Oh, yes, I do. Great, that'd be great for chapel. You see, we have a chapel here. This school is hooked on to a Catholic university, and we take the boys over from the school over to the Catholic university on Fridays, and we have mass for the boys, and the father gives a little homily. We'd like you, possibly, to do the worship for a Catholic mass for the boys on Friday. I can't even take communion. I'm not Catholic. Okay. Oh, and I see that you have a camera. You like photography. Why I put that down, I don't know. I wasn't even any good at it. They asked for hobbies. I put down photography. I said, I have a camera. He says, good enough. That would be good for the yearbook. We need somebody to take care of the yearbook. It's not hard. It comes in a package. No big deal. Okay. Do you like sports? Yes. Do you like basketball? Yes, but. But. Good enough. You could coach the basketball team. Do you like baseball? Well, I haven't played since I was a kid, but I like... You're good enough. You could coach baseball. Made no sense. None of this made any sense. But you see, Father is unlimited. I said, I don't have an English major, not even an English minor. He said, I've read your application. He showed me the proverbial stack, I'm not kidding you, on his desk, and it was that high. And it's no fish story. It was high. Now, you know, over the years I could have gone up that high, but I'm keeping it at the level it was. And he said, here, read this application. And he gives me an application off the top. Read part of that. Okay, so I read this application. I happen to know the guy. He was in married housing, and I'd asked him to come to a Bible study, and he came, I think, once. So I read it. Mistakes, miscues, lots of writing errors. He said, position is for an English teacher. This guy's an English major. But they're all like that. All the applications are like that. But you can write. He determined that from my application of all the writing that I dutifully went through. What if I would have just said, it's just an application you're not going to receive anyway. I'll just write any old way I want because it's not going to go anywhere. No, I gave it my best. And guess what? I went to the top of the stack. I wasn't an English major, wasn't an English minor. What about the military background? Oh, that's just because we have this show in the spring that the boys, it's a boys' school, and it's a military background of the school, and we have this one show where they do some marching. We'll teach you that. Don't worry about it. So all the things were fulfilled. Not by me. I didn't have the qualifications. They were fulfilled by the Father coming in and answering my weak, limited prayer request. See, He wants to do that for each of us. Come in and take our qualifications and turn them upside down. Turn them into positives. Well, I don't know anything about following God. What am I coming to this church for? You're in the perfect place. He wants to turn your qualifications upside down, turn you into a world changer. And so, he said, I'll be back in touch with you. Okay. The next morning, I barely got my eyes open, and he's calling. Yes, Mr. Goki, checked with the college already this morning, and boy, your credentials look great. Hey, just wondered if you'd like to come out and sign the contract. Why, sure. Let me pray for 14 seconds. You see, when you see God moving in a certain direction, you just say, Father, this is the direction, right? And He goes, It's me doing this. You can even figure it out. Looking at all the signals, all lining up. It's like, you know, the runway with all those lights. You're just on that runway, ready to take off. So, an English position, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade English, and a reading class, plus the coaching, plus the yearbook. That's a big load. Because you've got to grade all those English papers. So in his tour of the school, when I had the original interview with him, he took me on a tour of the school at night. Nowhere. Flipping on the lights. Yeah, this is the English room you'll be teaching in if you get the position. And here's the social studies room, and here's this. Oh, by the way, the social studies guy, he's thinking about leaving in about a year. I said, well, you know, that's my background, social studies. I said, it's not English, it's social studies. So, you know, if that guy left and I get hired and that guy left, I'd be interested in that position. Enough said. 2 days after I was hired, the guy quit. So I went into the principal. Hey, remember that social studies position where, you know, and you said the guy, you know, he quit. Oh, yeah. But we have a guy coming in for a second interview. He has been a graduate assistant in the history department at the college. He has written an article, you know, and been published in a history journal. He's been, you know, traveling all over Europe and so on. I mean, it looks like we'll have to keep status quo, which means we're going to put him in if the second interview goes well, and you'll stay in English. I said, well, hey, that's fine. I just wanted you to know of my sincere desire to be involved in the social studies. And I'll be the best English teacher I can be for you, but just wanted you to know I'm very interested in that social studies position. So on the way home that night, I said, after teaching English for a couple of days, oh boy, I started on my way home, and I, Lord, you know that I'm involved in ministry and so on, and I know I'll be spending a lot of time grading English papers and things like that, and I will do the best possible job I can do as an English teacher. But if you would like to, Father, give me that social studies position, I'll receive it from your hand. Didn't pray about it again. The guy came in for the second interview. The principal's first question to the guy, what do you think about teaching English? And the guy says, yeah, that'd be all right. He brought Mr. Corso down to my room. Said, Mr. Gokey, you'll be going down to the social studies room, and Mr. Corso will be coming in to teach English. About halfway through the year, Mr. Corso realizes what has happened. I didn't travel in Europe. I was no graduate assistant to a history professor. I never had a cotton-picking thing published. Didn't have the qualifications that he had. Nowhere near. And he says to me, we're riding in a car together at someplace, and he says, how did you get that social studies position? This guy is grading English papers, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth graders. They're English papers, all boys. Enough said. And he said, how did you get that English position? I said, I just asked for it. What do you mean? Well, I prayed and I asked God to give it to me. He didn't really want to talk about it after that. But I think it made an impression on him, because he had all the qualifications and I didn't. But I ended up in the position. You know, God does that a lot. When you're his favored one, when you're his favorite one, he'll put you in places that you aren't qualified for, like being a pastor. I'm not qualified. I have no seminary education. But neither did Jesus. And he'll put you in a place that you could only dream of. And so because I was switched from English to social studies, I was also switched from the seventh grade advisor to become the eighth grade advisor, the top advisor of the top class in the school. Well, that made no big deal to me or to anybody else, really. It was seemingly just a change in position because of the switch from social studies to English. But at the end of the year, halfway through the year, the cafeteria was condemned. So shortly after that, the nuns that supported the school said, we will not be having the school anymore. We're going to close the school at the end of the year. Open 77 years, I taught there 1 year, and they decided to close. I don't know whether it was my chapel singing. Couldn't tell you. Maybe it was my coaching. But they decided to close the school. So at the end of the year, they always had a graduation, eighth grade graduation. And the eighth grade advisor, not the seventh grade advisor, but the eighth grade advisor gave a little 5-minute speech. The father was the speaker, and the eighth grade advisor was the speaker at the end of every year during the graduation. Well, now it's the end of the school and the end of the year. And I am the eighth grade advisor, and they came to me and said, you need to give a 5-minute speech. And the father will be speaking for as long as he wants. You get 5 minutes. I said, God, what can I do in 5 minutes? What could I say in 5 minutes? You're going to have to give me something. So about an hour before, I'm still trying to figure out what I'm supposed to say. And it suddenly comes to me what I'm supposed to say. I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. I think I can fit that in 5 minutes, Lord. So I get before the group, and the father goes through the school. He's got slides. He's got history of the school and on and on. And the place is packed. It's at the college next door, and the place is packed with all kinds of people that came back for the end of the school and the graduation for the eighth graders and everything else. He's going on and on and on and on and on. And then they say, okay, Mr. Gokey, it's your turn. 5 minutes, remember, 5 minutes. So I get up and I spoke on the fact that we should give our lives to the Word of God and people. Because those are the only two things that are going to last. Believe it or not, these orange pews are going to burn. And maybe before the end of the world. They might burn soon. This carpet's not going to be, this building, all of this earth is going to be made new with fire. And there's going to be two things that last. Well, you could, come up with a few more categories, imagine, within those things. But the Word of God and people are going to last. Because the Word of God lasts forever. And people, once they're born, they live forever. They either live with God or away from God. So I give this 5-minute speech. And when I started to leave to go out to the parking lot, I was one of the first ones that come from the front to leave. I think the father probably goes out, and everyone gives him the honor as he goes out. And then I, one of the teaching staff come behind him and so on. It was like the Red Sea parted everywhere I walked. No one wanted to get anywhere near me. Like, oh, that's interesting. No, thank you, Mr. Gokey, for what you did this past year as being the, in teaching and everything. No thanks, no nothing. Just walk out the door. So I'm walking out the door. I walk down the steps of this college. I'm headed to my car, and I hear, yoo-hoo! Yoo-hoo! I'm like, who says yoo-hoo anymore? Who does that? Even my mother didn't do that. So I turned around. I'm almost to my car. I turn around and I look on the steps. And I'm not kidding you. It's just like a movie. There were nuns lined on the steps. Like in V. I mean, it would have been perfect for a movie scene. They're lined on the steps like a V. And they're going like this to me. Yoo-hoo! Mr. Gokey! And I'm like, what could this be about? What other surprise do you have for me, God? And I walk up, and I'm at the bottom of the V, and here they are. And the one speaks for the group, and she said, I'm just speaking for the group here. And they're all going. They all have their full habits and everything. I'm speaking for the group, and we just think we've been coming to these graduations for 50 years. And we just wanted you to know that was the best speech we have ever heard in 50 years. Wow. 5 minutes. They didn't happen to mention the father, that he took an hour and a half. 5 minutes. So I said, well, thank you. And they all shook their heads. I said, well, thanks very much. I mean, you don't hug nuns, do you? I didn't know what to do, so I... thanks. And, went to my car, drove away. So the last event for the entire school year, the entire existence of the school, because they actually tore down that school during the summer. It was an empty field by the next fall. Try to get a recommendation from an empty field. It doesn't work real well. So the last event to close the school year out was a dinner, staff dinner. I think the father came in late and took his place and ate. And we all ate, and very quiet. Not a lot of, camaraderie. Everyone's thinking about their future. Where am I going to teach now? And all of that. And I was loose, Came in. Hi. Sit down, eat. But I had to leave early. So I started, said my goodbyes, started out the door, didn't say anything to the priest. I don't think I'd ever talked to the priest. All I ever saw him was in front with the boys on Fridays. And I'd heard that he liked the worship music. Now, I didn't do Catholic worship. I did my worship to God, and he liked it, I heard. But I never talked to him about it. So I'm ready to leave the dinner, say my goodbyes, and a couple of them came and they stopped me from going out the door. I thought, uh-oh, it's not the nuns again, is it? And he said, the father wants to talk to you. Uh-oh, father wants to talk to me. So they kind of, walk over, and he's kind of old, he's eating. He looks up kind of with an eye, he's eating. He goes, I thought that meant to maybe put my ear down. He's going to say something to me. Fortunately, I was right. So I put my ear down, and he goes, you're a soul on fire. Wow. Kept waiting for a little more. That's all he said. You're a soul on fire. Thank you. I mean, thank you. So what else do you say to something like that? You start a conversation. Oh, yeah, I like those beans, too. They're really great, aren't they? I don't know what to say. So I walked away, and I thought, this is interesting. I have just lost the first job in teaching. I have closed a school by showing up here. I have this deep feeling within myself. And I think it was true, because the next place I taught for 5 months, and they sealed up the part of the building I taught in. The next position I had, they closed the building. And I don't know what they're doing with it today, but it's completely closed. The next building I taught in, they closed that one. The final building I taught in, they closed it and tore it down. It doesn't exist today. It's a baseball field. So there's some kind of pattern there. I haven't exactly figured out what God's trying to tell me from all of that, but the point is, all of these things were very small, weren't they? That I did, anything I did, was very small. But God took that small thing and breathed on it. He breathed on it. And something cool happened with it. I think we can learn from that. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What's the key word there? All. Seek, of course, but all these things will be added unto you. No limit. You with me? No limit. I needed a teaching job. He had no problem just kind of moving things around to get that done. He had no problem moving on the behalf of Joseph and doing the same thing when Joseph needed to be out of prison. Now, it took 13 years. He went in as a 17-year-old and came out as a 30-year-old. But if you're going to be second in command in the land of Egypt, I think you could wait a little while, couldn't you? See, he can turn an Epiphone into a Les Paul. Given enough time, or he can just do it very quickly. It's up to him. The timing's up to him. But the process is always the same. He's going to do it, if you allow him. But you have to step toward him as if he is valuable. Not just to meet your needs and get your stuff, but to give him your life as an offering. And then, wow, the things he can do. Unbelievable stuff. Fun stuff. All means all. That's what he likes to do. So, why did they name this all? It's because it gets the entire job done, right? It takes care of everything in the laundry area. You can't figure something out that isn't on this package. I'm telling you, they've got the instructions for temperature, hot, warm, cold, permanent colors, permanent press, bright colors, delicates, colors that fade or bleed. They've got it covered in this one package. And people buy it just because of the name, I think. They don't even advertise anymore, I don't think. They don't have to. It says it all. You know, they can sell this without advertisement. Because when it first came out, all they had to do was say, it does it all. It's all. Takes care of it. That's it. That's what the Father does. But the thing that many people don't understand is you have to give all to get all. Give all to get all. Oh, I just want Him to bless me. I don't want to bless anyone else. Just help me out, God. Wrong approach. Wrong approach. The right approach is I'll give all and expect you'll treat me like a kid in the kingdom. It works. It works. You saw Pastor Mary Pat, many of you, summer of 2009 with malaria. Do you know anything about malaria? Do I know anything about malaria? Does Akron General know anything about malaria? Not really. But God does. And God can come in and heal. And He did. He turned it around for a king's kid. No matter who knew what. Now, obviously, doctors know some things about malaria. They can help. They can be part of that process. And God uses them. But the ultimate healing came from God. We saw it. She was having respiratory problems that would put a person in a very dire strait, even if they were able to overcome them. And yet she was walked out of the hospital in a couple of days after we began warring here on a Sunday and said, open up that small little window in her lungs that was clear. There was a small little window on the x-rays that was clear. And God just expanded that window. He took one of His kids and said, not you. No rehabilitation for you. No lasting condition for you. And He opened it up. See, He doesn't just want to do it for her. He wants to do those kinds of healings for everybody. It's one of His king's kids. You are valued in the kingdom. You just need to step up to it and realize it. He can't wait to act on your behalf. Listen to some of this. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, that can be taken two ways. The desires of my heart, all right, give me a mansion. I want a, you know, cool ride. All the food I can eat, but I don't want to get fat. You know, come on, bring it on, God. Or He shall give you the desires of your heart because you're delighting in Him. And those desires will be purified and they'll be kingdom desires. That's a whale of a lot more fun. Howard Hughes at one point was the richest man on earth. And he became crazy. He got all this money, fly anywhere, go anywhere, buy anything, billionaire, inventor, went nuts. Washed his hands. Worried about bugs everywhere. You're a billionaire. Worried about bugs. Probably had the cleanest place in Las Vegas. Worried about the bugs. You know, the riches didn't help him. You know, I've had less worry since I've started to invest in heavenly riches. Way less. And increasingly less. There's nothing to worry about. He already promised to take care of me. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Friday, we didn't have enough for gift of Christmas, only for the transportation. What should we do? Father, it was your idea for gift of Christmas. It was your idea to bless people with gifts, not just driving them to the store. You must have a plan to take care of this. How will you do it? Should be interesting. How are you going to work this out, God? This should be really fun. Let's see what's going to happen. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. It came in. The money came in. The money came in. Now, Friday, I felt like a little kid. I didn't feel like a rich king's kid, you know, God, I'm coming to you. You know, I came to him like, oh, Lord, you know, I know what I'm supposed to, I'm feeling like, well, you know. So I'm not going to go with my feelings. I'm going to go with what I know about you, that you care about this and you want to do something and so on. But I came to him as a very humble child. I didn't come in and go, well, I know he'll take care of it, God, because I have such great faith. You know, why did he mention mustard seed of faith? Because that's what we usually have. Mustard seed is a very small amount of faith. It's not that we, you know, our great faith changes things. It's that he can take small amounts of faith and multiply them very easily so that they do great things, so that we marvel at what he does. And so he took care of that need of gift of Christmas. But, you know, we have other needs. But isn't it neat? You see that one and you go, oh, that means all we got to do is say, Father, it's your plan about this building here in Jackson. It's your plan about the center that we're trying to help build in northern India. It's your plan about those kids, and the numbers keep increasing in the children's home. There's 9 kids we haven't even met. 9 lives. We've not even met them yet. So, of course, they're saying over there, you need to come to India because you haven't met them yet. And we say, you're right. Because they're precious. 9 lives that are precious. There's projects all over the world. There's one in northern Ghana we want to see completed. Look how many of there are of us in here. And many of you are brand new today. Now, there's many people gone today, for whatever reason. But, you know, it's a small group. Doesn't look like it's going to happen, but mustard seeds do amazing things when they're multiplied. They really do. Amazing things. Personally and corporately. So we're expecting some kind of surprise from the Father. Would you like to join in on that kind of surprise?
Yes.
Because being part of that is just fun. It's fun to see God move and know that you had so little to do with it. It's just so fun. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I'm feeling awful tired. I don't know if I can go to Gift of Christmas. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Woo! Let's go. Let's step into it and see what happens. There were a lot of people that did that yesterday. They were dog-tired from other things we do. You know, we go out to Heartland and minister out there. We go to Legends and minister there. We go to 2 college campuses and minister during the week. Minister going, doing things, so on. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I had oral surgery Thursday. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I felt great after oral surgery and a nap. You know that gas they give you that kind of knocks you out or whatever? I don't know. Maybe they gave me an intravenous. I don't know. I got in there and I thought, they're going to explain everything to me? No, they just started in. And before long, I woke up. I was done. They had everything taken care of. And they go, here, lay on this couch. I laid on the couch. I'm like, what happened to me? They didn't explain anything to me. And then, you know, they're running out of that room. I wanted to ask you a couple questions. Did you, like, knock me out? I think I was knocked out. Was I knocked out? I didn't want to ask because it was in the literature I was supposed to read. But anyway, I'm sitting on this couch, and I'm like, I guess I was because I'm awful woozy. And then, you know, they make somebody drive you home, and I drove home, or Mary Pat drove me home. And I'm, you know, she puts me in the easy chair, and I'm like, oh, I can't. There's just no way I could sleep in this chair. I mean, it doesn't feel bad. Maybe because the stuff hasn't worn off yet. I'm thinking of that. I'm like, it was a great rest. I woke up about 6 o'clock, and I was like, wow, there's no pain, and I haven't had any medication. This is awesome. Just awesome. Yeah. And so, you know, he just loves all these little surprises, but we have to look for his hand. We have to say, you're the one. You're the one. Life is fun, enjoyable, exciting, but you're the one. I don't make it that way. You do, Lord. I have this thing even from when I was a kid. I love these phrases. You know, they put on plaques and different things. I just love those things. I'd have like 500 plaques all the way through the house if Mary Pat would let me. Because I just like those things. But as I've, you know, I used to get, when I was a teenager, I would get the free books from the book clubs, you know. You get 4 for a dollar or something, and you know. Anyway, the free ones I'd always get would be like books of quotations. And just read those quotations, I go, wow, that guy must have thought a long time to come up with that one. That was excellent. And then I'd read the next one. Oh, that guy must have double thought on that one. That's excellent. And we just read through these quotations. Anyway, it's a thing from my youth. But I noticed something this morning. There's 2 of the same ones on our walls at home, and I never noticed that before. Isn't that weird? You know, you live in the house, you're going through the house, and these are on your walls. 2 of the same ones. And this is what it is. Faith is not believing God can. It is knowing God will. Now, I think he's trying to tell me something by it being on our walls double, because I don't think we planned that. We don't plan a whole lot. So I know we didn't plan that. But he wanted me to notice that this morning. Faith is not believing God can, it is knowing God will. And the way we know he will is because he's Father. When we know him close as Father, when we receive the kind of love he has for us as Father, we know he's going to take care of it. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Oh, but I'm in a hole right now. I can't even see the top to crawl out. Doesn't matter. Because Father is bigger than whatever hole it is. He can pull you out of any hole. His arm is not too short to pull you out of any hole. He can do it. It's awesome. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Above all. Well, maybe this is the one exception. God, you can't help me here. That doesn't fit the verse. Exceedingly abundantly above all, except for the exceptions. Exceedingly abundantly above all, but I don't have a job. Exceedingly abundantly above all, but I don't have a place to stay. Exceedingly abundantly above all, but I don't have enough money until the end of the month. See, those are the real issues of life. It's not like, well, we have to come to church and be spiritual and be spiritual and be spiritual, but then I go home to all these things I have to deal with. No, the two are all together. It's all under the kingdom now, and the king. if you let that happen, then the things that we experience here turn the things at home upside down. The things nobody knows about. It turns it upside down. Well, I have hurts from a relationship where someone just nailed me. Forgive. Gets turned around. You have to let what you're learning from the Father influence every little corner of your life. Because then it's all. Otherwise, you're making all the exceptions and you're putting the limit on. Isn't that true? We're good at making exceptions. God, you can't do this because got my reasons. Natural reasons.
I'm a supernatural God. Supernatural. Above the natural. Over the natural. Don't think natural.
No one will hire me. I don't have any skills. You're kidding, right? God has so many jobs, it's unbelievable. Jobs are a dime a dozen. Never move to a location for a job. Only move because God wants you to move. Jobs are not what life is all about. Father can provide jobs. To people walking out of factories and saying, I don't have a job. I don't know where to start. I don't have the qualifications. He can do it. Because we say, Father, you take care of it. He loves to do that. But when we do it ourselves, very limited. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. Where does the Son dwell? In heaven. Who did He send to be within us? Holy Spirit. The Father has given all to Jesus, everything. It says in other passages, all authority. He's given it to Jesus. Holy Spirit lives in us. He's the agent of Jesus, so to speak, living inside of us. That means we have all living inside of us. All authority, all that's been given to Jesus, lives inside of us when we've invited Jesus in. Remember that little thing last night? Jesus doesn't just have one name, but a name that meets every possible human need. And He lives inside of you by His Spirit. There's no option for the Father but to bless you and favor you. If you're pointed towards Him. That's it. He has no option. He's already boxed Himself in. Oh, but I don't have that significant person in my life yet. Operative word. Yet. If it's a true need in you and He's wired you that way, He can't do anything but provide. And take care of it if you're pointed towards Him. Isn't that true? He's boxed Himself in. I will take care of all your needs. I'll strengthen you in any situation. I'll be with you always. I live inside of you. I've sent the Spirit to be with you, and I've given all to the Spirit. I've given all authority, and I've decided to live inside of you. Why not live on the outside of us and make us beg? No, He lives on the inside of us so we recognize it and say, I don't have to beg. I just ask. Now, sometimes Mom says, no, I'm not going to give you that piece of candy right now. See, my question to Mom was always, so why'd you buy it? That means you're going to give it to me sometime. Or otherwise, you wouldn't have bought it. Okay, take this piece of candy and get out of here. See, he already bought the candy. It's already in the cupboard. It's just when he gives it to you. It's just the timing. But your heart has to be pointed towards the kingdom. You have to go after the pearl of great price. That's the step that people miss. Oh, I don't want to do that. I just want God to be the glorified Santa Claus. Give me stuff without requiring anything from me. Or I'll be generous. I'll give God cookies and milk. He should be satisfied with that. I'll be good for him over here and over there. Or I'll be good in church. I'll act like I'm just like everybody else. I'm good. I'm really good. See, I'm good. I'm smiling. I'm really good. But then I go live the life I want to live. No, that doesn't work. Because you're not going to see, you're not going to have the revelation to make the right steps. You're going to step in the mess in the corner. Every time. Because you won't have the revelation. You'll run to that corner. You know people like that. Maybe you've been a person like that. Maybe I've been a person like that. At some time in my life, I ran to the corner where the mess was and I jumped into it. The whole room was nothing but a great place to put my foot, but I put my foot in the mess. Why? Because I didn't have revelation from God. But when you go after the pearl of great price, and he is the pearl of great price, and you offer yourself to him, he takes you so many other places than where the mess is. And if he takes you to the mess, it's so you can clean it up. Or you clean it up for another person and serve them and love them. It's a great life. Some of you have signed up for it. Some of you have signed up for it for life. It was a wise decision. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Would I rather be a millionaire or a king's kid? I'd rather be a king's kid because the millions are waiting for me up in heaven. Mansion, you know, probably a chauffeur, you know, angel chauffeur, that's not so bad. 10 feet tall. Pretty cool. Think of what the cars must look like in heaven. Think they're cool down here. Oh, but it's not just waiting for that. There's so much joy and enjoyment and value and love and excitement living here. Right now, as heaven comes to earth and we receive it. That's what I want for each person that's in here today. See, I don't want just a cool story for myself or several or thousands or whatever. That's okay. And that would fill in a lot of the preaching time, you know, with great stories, how God has blessed my life or favored me or whatever. But you know what would be even better is that you come in next Sunday, and you've got such a story, we have to get rid of the preaching. Oh, you just don't know. Something happened to me. Well, here, let's give you a microphone. Yeah, I didn't have a job, and God gave me a job. All I did was ask. Because I said, I'm your kid. You're my father now. I received you in the last week. And that guy from that frontline place said, you know, if I just asked, you'd do something. So I don't know how it works. And then you come in and you've got a testimony or a healing or something God has done for you. Do you know what? We actually do that. There have been times where we've skipped the preaching and we've had people share. And it's lasted so long, we just ended church. No preaching. So some of you, you know, are saying, man, this is lasting kind of long today. And, you know, this is a Christmas season. We just had gift of Christmas yesterday. I'm kind of tired, you know. The one way to shut me up and, you know, from giving God glory is to give him glory yourself. Take over the meeting with a testimony that God has done something amazing in your life. So we'll try that next week when Pastor Mary Pat's going to be sharing. You just come in with the testimonies. Okay, just bring them on in. Bushelfuls of testimonies of how God the Father has taken care of you. And I'll get the microphone and invite you up, okay? We'll take over the meeting. Hi, honey. Time to pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can have joy in you and know that you take care of all. No limits. Surprises instead. Joyous surprises. We bless the people with that today. We bless me with that today, Lord. But I want it to be so it furthers your kingdom as well. Not just so that we just take these things. It's so much better to give them away then. So much better. So much more fun. To give out of what we don't have, but you supply. You take care of it. Father, thank you for meeting the needs in this house. We thank you, Lord, for being with Dylan and Amy right now. And God, meeting the need there, whatever it is, whatever stage it's at, and whatever is going on there, we say you be strong on their behalf. Your arm is not too short. We just say, we're behind you, Lord. We support you, Father. Enter into their circumstances with your righteous right arm that no man can hold back. And bring about your victory in their situation. And bring about a victory in each situation here represented today. So many could share their situation, could share what's going on in their life, the need that they have before you, Father, the things that they're struggling with, the decisions they're struggling with. And then they can just open their hand and say, Father, take it, work it, do what you want to do. You're my pearl of great price. I'm offering myself to you. And before long, they'll have such a testimony of what you've done, how you've rescued them, how you've pulled them up out of a hole, how you've helped them make the right decision that they just feel so good about. Thank you, Father, for being that kind of dad to us. That kind of papa. We just love reveling in your love. We love dancing in it. We love singing in it. We love living in it. I pray more in this house this morning will experience, will encounter your great love for them and believe it during the week, not just in this meeting, but during the actual struggles of the week. We give you praise. We honor you. We thank you, Father, for speaking to us through Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cynthia, Cynthia.